they find any needy person, they sincerely help them in order to solve the problems. In that community, we find that nothing, by way of any kind of psychosocial complex would be formed, in the minds and in the demeanor and behavior of those people who find themselves not belonging to the upper classes of the community. On the other hand, we find that those people, who are regarded as belonging to the well-to-do class of society or community, we find that they are ready to share the gains, some portions of their properties, with those people who are really in need of receiving such kind of financial or cultural or educational assistance. Another benefit or another gain that can be obtained through helping the needy is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives abundance, grants abundance to the wealth of those people who need, who help other people, especially the needy. Yet in this regard, we find that Satan intervenes and tempts those people who may want to help other people and not to do so, because deducting some money or some budget for one's own pocket may give or may lead to, gradually may lead to one's, for example, turning into financially unfavorable situation or becoming not that much wealthy in the long run. And in this regard, we find that those people who are not that much inclined to help other people may reason that, helping other people, helping the needy, would lead to their own poverty. Yet in this regard, especially particularly in this context and in such situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs people in this way. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم. Those people who pay alms out of their own properties in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's like one grain of wheat, which is planted in the earth, and finally it comes out with seven sheaves, and in each sheave you can find 100 grains. It's multiplied. In the beginning, only one grain of wheat was planted, but in the long run, we find that 700 grains of wheat are produced. This is, of course, an analogy, and in this regard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to imagine, to come up with imagining this type of, the favorable consequences of helping the needy. Yet, there's a piece of hadith from the sixth infallible Imam, Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, in which he mentioned that giving alms to the needy is in fact compensating the one's duties, and it leaves behind grace and blessings. We hope to be among those people who help the needy. Thank you.
Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story, which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
Sayyid Muhammad Ridwi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani la'in rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear sisters and brothers in Iman, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The coronavirus outbreak is truly putting families and nations to test. Some people are fortunate enough to maintain themselves during the economic downturn, but there are many more who are financially struggling. Many governments are helping citizens through various initiatives. This contrasts with other regions where there is a stark lack of support. For example, in Detroit, Michigan, water was cut off for those who could not pay their bills. Millions in India are literally surviving on charity while the country is on lockdown without a strong relief system. Tanzania is withholding information and refusing to implement a lockdown for monetary reasons. Nicaragua refuses to acknowledge the existence of the crisis, leaving citizens to self-implement safety measures. And Kenya is urging peoples to stay indoor while at the same time demolishing the homes of 5,000 people. And so while the countries who are implementing aid may not be doing it perfectly, it is still a praiseworthy gesture of help. On an individual level, there are many who are helping out friends, relatives, and others during this trying time. Many more are helping the poor through charitable organizations around the world. So if you know relatives or friends who are in need, help them out however you can, in a safe manner, according to social distancing. If you don't know of anyone in need, then donate to relevant charitable organizations.
That was all for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi aman Allah. Ana bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu
al-qulub. Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of first six. My dad, who is taught me the art of
writing. Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listener's Special on this beautiful Sunday, August 29th, 2021. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listener's Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcasts. If you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of Listeners Special. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very useful and important to us, especially to our technicians and engineers at IRIB English Radio. These reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us. So here, I do express my appreciations to those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports. This time, N. Arun Kumar from India, Sixten Niman from Finland, and Vlad Vinogradov from Russia, yes. Arun, Kumar, Sixten, and Vlad, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us letters and emails from around the world, including Sanjeev from India. Again, from India, we have an email from N. Arun Kumar. Yes, one of our regular listeners. Also from Argentina, we have an email from Alejandro Fili Munchuk. From Sweden, we have an email from Michael Wilborg. Yes. So many thanks for sending us these emails. Dear listeners, please stay with us. I will be back with these emails after the music. I will read these great emails. So please be with us. And here I'm back with emails and letters from around the world. And first of all, an email from Sanjeev from India. Sanjeev from India says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, I am a regular listener of IRIB English, Bengali, Hindi, and Urdu service from 1990. The reception of IRIB is nice in Calcutta. IRIB is one of the best international radio stations among the West Asian countries. IRIB is the big source for me to learn more about Iran and its culture. I would like to know more about the famous mosques and shrines in Iran. Best wishes from India." Salam and warmest greetings to you, Sanjeev from India, and many thanks for sending us this email. So, as you said, you are a regular listener of IRIB English, Bengali, Hindi, and Urdu services of IRIB. Actually, IRIB World Service has different parts, so you listen to these, different languages of this service, IRIB World Service, English, IRIB English Radio Service, and other stations like Bengali, Hindi, and Urdu of IRIB. That's great. And you said you've been listening to these stations since 1990, and that's a long time. So you are a great regular listener of IRIB, and that's great. So you are from Calcutta, and you've been listening to these stations. You're so happy that our signals are received in your region, Calcutta. Many thanks for letting us know that you enjoy IRIB English Radio. And if you want to know about more about Iranian culture and history, and of course the news, you can refer to our radio. And you said IRIB is the big source, an authentic and great source, because it's non-biased, and it's it broadcasts non-partial news about Iran and other countries. So you can refer to this source. As you said, it's a big source for you to learn more about Iran and its culture. And you mentioned about the culture. We broadcast different programs about the culture and history of Iran. And nowadays, we are broadcasting a program called Close Up Iran, which is broadcast on Mondays. And it is about tourist attractions of Iran. Of course, it has different sections about the mosques and shrines in Iran, as you are interested more about it. So many thanks, Sanjeev from India, for sending us this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. And as I said, again from India, we have an email from N. Arun Kumar. N. Arun Kumar from India says, "Dear Sir, Madam in IRIB English Radio, I thought this reception report enclosed to this email might be helpful for you. Unfortunately, there was a lot of noise in the broadcast that I hope it will be fixed very soon. I will be very happy if you can please verify the report and send the QSL card with the program guides, pen and stickers to my address. First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you and Arun Kumar from India, and lots of gratitude to you for sending us this email. So, of course, the reception report you enclosed to this email was, of course, very helpful to us. And, of course, about the, you said there was a lot of noise in the broadcast. We inform our engineers and technicians about this problem, and we will fix it very soon because our effort in IRIB English Radio always is providing the best kind of programs, the best quality of the programs for our dear listeners around the world. Be sure about that. And please wait for an EQSL card coming to you very soon. Yes, my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card. And about your request about sending the program guides, pennants, stickers, anything, the souvenirs of IRIB English Radio, as you may know, is not possible right now because of the international hygienic protocols. As you know, after the COVID-19 pandemic, this situation, this condition, sending souvenirs of IRIB English Radio to our dear listeners was halted. And we hope after the eradication of this virus, we can send our dear listeners, the souvenirs of our radio. But program guides, yes, program schedules and programs, program guide, you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/en, and there you can find our program guides. Anyway, and Arun Kumar from India, many thanks for sending us this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. And now, after a short break, I will be back with an email from Argentina, from Alejandro Philly Munchak. Stay with us, please. Welcome back from Latin America, from Argentina. We have an email from Alejandro Philly Munchak. Alejandro says, "Hi from Buenos Aires. I could hear your transmission few days ago. I attached an audio clip sample, and I hope you can verify it for a QSL card or an EQSL. The reception was good, with a lot of noise, but overall, it was good. Thank you very much. And I'm waiting for a verification from your respectful radio station, IRIB English Radio. God bless you all." And salam and warmest greetings from Tehran, the capital of Iran. Alejandro Philly Munchak from Argentina, many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. So you attached an audio clip sample. Many thanks for that. And you will soon take an EQSL from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, we used to send our dear listeners paper QSL cards, but now after the pandemic, we are sending our dear listeners EQSL cards, electronic QSL cards, because of the international hygienic protocols. So you said the reception was good, but it had a lot of noise. Of course, we will inform our technicians and engineers about this problem. But as you said, the overall, it was good. That's great. Alejandro, why don't you tell us your views about the programs? In your upcoming emails or letters, please tell us your views about our IRIB English Radio programs. Which programs you like the best, Alejandro? God bless you. We wish you all the best. Write to us soon. We are waiting for another email or letter from you, Alejandro from Argentina. And here we have an email from Sweden. This email is from Michael Wilborg. Michael from Sweden says, my name is Michael Wilborg and I live in Skogås, a suburb of Stockholm, Sweden. I recently rediscovered your radio broadcast and I wanted to give some comments. I write rediscovered because I first stumbled upon your transmission a long time ago, perhaps 2009, when I wrote to you. Unfortunately, I drifted away, but now that I am an adult, I am glad to reacquaint myself with your programming. I find your programs interesting because it is refreshing to hear a different perspective on world events than the usual USA-centered perspective you get here in Sweden and the West as a whole. Of course, Michael Wilbert from Sweden has written us a long email. Thanks for that. But because of the lack of time, I cannot read all of it. It is about the different programs of Iran. But at the end, Michael from Sweden says, I have mostly listened to your broadcast on shortwave. I visited your website, but I found the online stream and archive somewhat confusing. If the program details are correct, I would be very grateful for a QSL verification of my reception. Thank you for reading my email. To all the staff of IRIB and Pars Today, with the best regards. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Michael Wilbert from Sweden. And many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio, your radio. So, Michael, you live in Skogås, a suburb of Stockholm. That's great. We're so happy that the signals of IRIB English Radio are heard in your suburb. Skogås, if I'm right in pronouncing your dad name, the suburb of Stockholm. So, you rediscovered IRIB English Radio broadcast. That's great. As you said, maybe you were a child when you first noticed and first received the signals of IRIB English Radio, perhaps in 2009. And now that you are an adult, you received it again, and that's good. So continue listening to our broadcasts again and tell us your views about these programs. So you caught different programs about Iran. And we are so happy that you reflected your views about IRIB English Radio programs. Michael, write to us soon and tell us your views about different programs. And that's great. You mostly listen to IRIB English Radio programs on the shortwave. I think most of our listeners like to listen to the programs on the shortwave. And they mostly like to listen on traditional kind of radio. And that's good. So, Michael from Sweden, write us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Tell us which programs you like the best. We are so happy that you again received the signals of IRIB English Radio. Many thanks for writing this great email to your radio, IRIB English Radio. And now, dear listeners, I think we have to skip to the next section of our program, that is today's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. We hope you'll enjoy it.
My name is Chris Dampier. I'm retired. I'm coming up to 75 years old, and I live in Hertfordshire. That's about 30 miles north, Sydney's in Hertfordshire, 30 miles north of London. And I've been a shortwave listener now for about 60-odd years. Overall, I find the programs of IRIB very interesting, obviously complete opposite to what we're learning in the media in Great Britain. This is obviously, again, it's a political situation in your country, but obviously it gives the enlightenment of your view of your side, and particularly your part of the world as to what's going on. Particularly some of the news in the Middle East is not covered here in our local media. In fact, during the last week, the local media has been just obsessed with Boris Johnson, and anything else that's happened on the international scene has really pretty well been ignored. A message to our listeners is obviously keep listening to IRIB because obviously you're providing a very good service in giving an opposite view of what a lot of the media are saying in another part of the world. And I think this is important. Otherwise, not everyone gets one point of view And there's nothing outstanding on the other side. And possibly the other side is right. And this has quite often happened before.
Wishing you all the best and, of course, health and safety in the times of the pandemic. We wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, the Sunday program, your program. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and have a good time.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
The thought on my mind that how grateful we are to have you, oh Hussein.
Insight into the Holy Quran.
And I thank you, Allah. I thank you, Allah. I thank you, Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Thumma salatu wassalamu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-Tahirin. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran.
In this edition of the program, we are trying to talk about the different verses of the Holy Quran, which are thematically connected to our topic, which is Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. So stay with us, and let's listen to some of the verses.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
In
and abide in your houses, and do not display yourselves as was the display of the former times of ignorance. And establish prayer, and give zakah, and obey Allah and His Messenger. Allah intends only to remove from you the impurity of sin, O people of the Prophet's household, and to purify you with extensive purification.
We were discussing the fact of infallibility of the Ahlul Bayt, and we said that the Holy Quran says, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. Allah desires to keep away the uncleanness from you, O the people of the house, and to purify you a thorough purifying. So, Allah's will is aimed at purifying the knowledge and the deeds of Ahlul Bayt. So, He has made them ma'asum, or infallible, both in their knowledge and in their deeds. If we are emphatically advised not to interpret the Holy Quran without the help of the Ahlul Bayt, it is because no human beings but Ahlul Bayt are immune from misunderstanding or somehow misinterpreting the Divine Book. In ordinary human beings, there is a great difference between insight and action, as well as between knowledge and the act. The gap between these two becomes even wider when man takes distance from his godly nature and his sublime human position. So, one of these two intellects is always stronger or weaker than the other. The more man walks towards perfection, the closer will be these two wings of flight. And at a point they will be one, they will become one, in the same way that knowledge and act are one for the angels. But now let's have a look at Almighty Allah's knowledge and act. As for Him, knowledge and act are exactly the same, and the two are exactly in His power. The Holy Quran says, وَمَا يَعْزُبُ عَنْ رَبِّكَ مِنْ مِثْقَالِ ذَرَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَلَا أَصْغَرْ مِنْ ذَٰلِكَ وَلَا أَكْبَرْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. There does not lie concealed from your Lord the weight of an atom in the earth or in the heaven. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَّا, also the Holy Quran says, and your Lord is not forgetful. So, the Almighty Allah is pragmatically free from any evil deed. And one of these indecencies is injustice, about which the Holy Quran says, وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Your Lord does not deal unjustly with anyone. So, based on these things, we come to the conclusion that isma, or the infallibility, is not solely cognitive or pragmatic. Because the prophets and the imams are infallible both in knowledge and deeds, because they are being godly, and for this very reason, their knowledge and act are a proof until the day of judgment for the people of all ranks.
He who loves you admonishes you from wrongdoing, and he who hates you entices you into wrongdoing.
One of the most well-known traditions in this regard is the narration Muhammad bin Babuwayh reports from Ibn Umayr, who says, during my association with Hisham bin Hakam, I did not find but four best words. Only when I asked him, is the Imam infallible? He answered, yes, he is. And I asked, for what reason? He said,
all sins are rooted in greed, jealousy, wrath, and lust. إن جميع الذنوب لها أربعة أوجه لا خامس لها: الحرص والحسد والغضب والشهوة. And then he continued, how can the imam be greedy of the world when the whole world is under his command? How can the imam be jealous while all the creatures are below him? How can the imam be wrathful when his wrath is for the sake of Allah? And how can the imam be lustful when he sees beautiful faces and blessings in the heaven through contemplation and intuition? And interestingly, at the end he says, فَهَلْ رَأَيْتَ أَحَدًا تَرَكَ وَجْهًا حَسَنًا لِوَجْهٍ قَبِيحٍ وَتَعَامًا لِتَعَامٍ مُرٍ. Have you ever seen someone let go of the beautiful face because of an ugly one? And have you ever seen someone let go of a delicious meal only to reach a bitter one? And this is one of the explanations of the infallibility of the Ahlul Bayt. Thank you for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
دمعت عليك ظلت تنزل جروح يا ابو اليمة بمصابك ذابت الروح طلب راية توفقني بخدمتك ولا تحرمني من الدمع والنور يا ابو النعمة وباب للرحمة أدري توفيقي هو أسبابك إلك أسأل وانت تتفضل من توظفني خادم ببابك
يا سيدي أسألك الدعاء يا سيدي أسألك الدعاء
يا وجيها
سيدي أسألك الدعاء يا سيدي
اشفع لنا
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars from IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints you are listening to. I'm Atta, the host of this program. Please accept our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and the arrival of the month of Muharram. With me in the studio for today's discussion are two guest speakers, Dr. Muhammad Reza Fakhr Rouhani, a faculty member of the University of Qom. Assalamu alaikum, doctor. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to you.
You're welcome, brother. And also, brother Ali Alavian is over here, an Islamic expert from the Islamic House of Qom. Assalamu alaikum, brother, and we're welcome to this show.
Wa alaikum assalam, and thank you for having me here.
So, Since this is the month of Muharram and the most tragic event during the history took place in this month, that is the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and his companions and family members, his faithful, loyal companions, Brother Mahmoud, the producer of this program, decided to dedicate this session and the upcoming ones to the atrocities and the corruptions that were done by the Umayyads during their rulership over Muslim lands. We know that from 41, we can say AH, till 132 AH, for 91 years, the Umayyad established a government on the Muslim lands, starting from Levant and getting all across the borders of the Muslim lands out of Arab Peninsula and Hejaz, today Saudi Arabia. But all of a sudden, many values have been changed, and many pure Islamic values have been violated. We know that the most horrendous, we can say, massacres happened during this period. We could see that what happened to the family and the companions of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. We could remember what they have done to, in the Harra event, the massacre of the people and the killing of the people over there. Also, Mukhtar al-Saghafi uprised against them, but he was killed again. And you know that in these 91 years, we can say Islam was deviated from the right path. This was what Umayyads did, Umayyads and their kings and the rulers did to the Muslim Ummah on that time. After the death of Muawiyah, how Yazid unlawfully and illegitimately got to the power, they want to start a kind of, Morusi or hereditary type of transfer of the power to themselves from the father to the son. And brothers and sisters, just go and check our Sunni references, not the Shia ones, that what a picture Yazid had on that time. The atrocities, the corruption that he did. And the first thing that he did was to take bay'ah from four: Hussein ibn Ali, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr, and Abdullah ibn Zubair. And anyone who confronted you, cut his head and behead his head. Mas'udi in his tariq says that, in his book says that, he was very much like Pharaoh, but Pharaoh was better than Yazid.
Yes.
But Pharaoh was better than Yazid. The rivers of the blood and the streams of blood that he did. On that time, such a guy like Yazid ibn Muawiyah. So, Brother Ali Alevian, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam did not accept it. As you said, did Khuruj, and on his way, he was to Karbala and then the Kufa.
Actually, according to the invitation, it is some, as I said, some believe that Imam did Khuruj, and we do not agree with this term.
No, I mean by Khuruj is that he left Medina
as a sign of
Karbala.
His disagreement.
Yes.
Since he found actually that he found that the people's acceptance can be actually in the Kufa, he started moving towards there, and he left, and he found even look when the Islam. The expediency of Islamic Ummah is even more important than the rituals and worships. That's
right.
Why he leaves his Hajj incomplete. This is the Imam, this is an Islamic leader that knows that the expediency of Islamic Ummah obliges him to leave his Hajj incomplete. While you can find no one that is permitted to leave his Hajj incomplete. So he moves towards Kufa, and on the way. On his way in Karbala, actually, he was martyred by in a sad and really tragic event by the troops of Yazid and with his representative in Kufa, that is Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad.
That's right.
So Imam was martyred in a really tragic way. He and his family and his 72 loyal companions. And his family were arrested and were sent to Shaman.
That's right.
The whole story that some...
Okay, Dr. Farah Rouhani, let's get to the post-event. The Karbala tragedy is so harsh and tragic that all the details cannot be mentioned over here. Sorry for, as they say, it includes graphic video.
Mm.
It includes graphic events over here. We cannot say what atrocity did Yazid, Obaidullah ibn Ziyad, Shamr ibn Zuljushan, and the other agents of Yazid detour, the companions of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the women and the children. But the case is that after the captives are taken to the Yazid's court, the heads are over there. He starts drinking liquor, and putting trays of chess, playing chess on the heads of the Ahlul Bayt and drinking liquor. He was himself criticized by the people around him, his viziers and the ministers around him, but he continues doing so. I mean, such behaviors from a guy like Yazid and the cruelty that he did towards Ahlul Bayt. What was the main reason for Yazid to show such vengeance toward Ahlul Bayt, not acting mercifully even to their bodies and their heads?
Yeah, the point is simply that he wanted to take revenge and he wanted to silence all others and show that, okay, look, he was the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay, and I ordered him to be beheaded,
yeah,
and his body to be,
mutilated.
Mutilated.
Yes.
Okay, trampled.
Trampled,
okay?
Mutilated.
Yes, and then, first of all, Yazid wanted to show that he was the absolute power over there, and wanted to silence all others. We find that, I mean, the reign of terror in the Umayyad period continued, I mean, from the time of Muawiyah up to the end of the period of Yazid, okay? And after Yazid, we find that Marwanids got to power, okay? However, we find that, okay, Yazid's main power was, Yazid's main intention was, not only to silence all his opponents, but to cut off the line of the Ahlul Bayt, okay? But it was just a vain hope. I mean, it was, a foolish hope.
That's right.
Because Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, okay, was a survivor of the Ashura tragedy, okay? Now we find that, I mean, even some historians who were courtiers, either in the time of the Umayyads or in the time of the Abbasids, when they come to Yazid ibn Muawiyah, they cannot resist, I mean, this feeling, okay, to write down, okay, what realities took place over there. Although they were, I mean, courtiers, and they were paid by the government, okay, in order to write the history in favor of the Umayyads and
that's
in favor of the Abbasids.
Although,
In some places, they reveal some of the secrets, okay, that took place, I mean, that were used to be, that were used to take place inside the Umayyad courts. Okay?
Although doing curse or doing land towards the companions and the caliphs of the Muslim lands are considered as forbidden by some of our Thani brethren, but according to authentic resources like Ahmad ibn Hanbal Zahabi, Ibn Imad Hanbali, Ibn Jawzi, and Ibn al-Khaldun, cursing Yazid ibn Muawiyah according to a consensus was done. And see how much a person could be corrupted and how much a scandal who could make during the Muslim moment.
May I have a short comment? Knowing about the reasons of this oppression that he made towards the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam requires to study about the characteristics of the characteristics and features of the government which was introduced by Muawiyah from Yazid, and actually they were the bases of this Umayyad dynasty. I mean, in the sense that they reached to power officially, and I think it requires to see how they started to expand corruption, cruelty, and also eliminating the Islamic values like piety and ruling unpious people over the others, and choosing people to lead as the governors, and I don't know, as the commanders of the people, those who did not really actually have the qualifications to be selected as this right. for these positions. These are, I think, requires okay. to talk about in depth and details, right. inshallah, in upcoming sessions.
Let me finish this program with a couplet from the famous Persian poet Sanai Ghaznavi. I read it in Persian and translated it into English. داستان پسر هند مگر نشنیدی که از او بر سر اولاد پیامبر چه رسید. Haven't you heard the story of the son of Hind, the wife of Abu Sufyan, that what he did do to the descendants of Prophet Muhammad? پدر او لب و دندان پیامبر بشکست. His father has broken the mouth, the jaws, and the tooth of Prophet Muhammad. مادر او جگر عم پیامبر بمکید.
Hamza
Sayyid al-Shuhada is referring to the uncle of Prophet Muhammad. خود به ناحق حق داماد پیامبر بگرفت. Imam Ali alayhi salam was in fact neglected of his right, that is the right of successorship as imamate. پسر او سر فرزند پیامبر ببرید. He is referring to Yazid, cutting off the head of the Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And this is the last line. بر چنین قوم چرا لعنت و نفرین نکنم. Why am I not a cursing and cursing such a tribe? لعن الله یزید و علی آل یزید. May curse be upon Yazid and the descendants of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. This was a couplet done by Sanai Ghaznavi, the famous Persian poet. Really beautiful. And it has all the history from pre-Islamic period, from Abu Sufyan, the father of Muawiyah, up until Yazid ibn Muawiyah. May Allah curse them all. Thank you very much, Dr. Fakhwani and Brother Ali Alavian.
Thanks to you, brother.
For your presence in the program Viewpoints. It was very kind of you. May Allah accept all of our mournings and azadaris and this majalis that we do for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the man who said no to the oppression of Yazid ibn Muawiyah and wanted to revive the pure Muhammadan Islam. For more information on this program, visit our website, parstoday.com/Yankalav Islam page. Do not forget us in these supplications and the morning ceremonies and the rallies and demonstrations for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam during the months of Muharram all across the world. Take care, the pandemic is killing, but held your ceremonies for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, even if it is online. Brothers, do not forget that these sha'ir and the rituals has to be enlivened, even if they are digital and online. Do your marasim and majalis and takaya for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. May Allah bless you all. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum, ya Abu Abdullah al-Hussein.
Look ya Zahra.
Look ya Zahra.
Look ya Zahra.
When the night fell on the desert camping, a lonely voice was heard in mourning. Then she looked and saw someone approaching, one who would join her in her grieving. She had come to see her progeny and what had become of their destiny. But she could not let her to go closer. She did not want her to really see. I do not want you to go further. You will only see pain and horror. Body with no head, 72 dead. Zainab said, do not look ya Zahra.
The light.
Pa
paleontologists in Egypt have discovered fossilized bones of an ancient whale that could probably walk on land and swim in water. Scientists found the skull, jaw, and some ribs and identified the parts as the 43-million-year-old ancestor of the modern whale. It's also the earliest type of semi-aquatic whale found in Africa. The whale is estimated to have been 10 meters in length, weighing over half a ton, and was likely a top predator. Scientists say the four-legged whale is a key new species that helps trace the transition of whales from land to sea. Paleontologists believe that the ancestors of modern whales developed from deer-like mammals living on land over a 10-million-year period. The fossilized remains were discovered in Egypt's western desert, which was once covered by sea. A French beekeeper has invented a unique device to keep his beehives safe after suffering a traumatic loss of 35 of them to hungry Asian hornets. The device is a one-way mechanism that baits hornets with sugary water, and once they get in through a funnel, they never come out. Originally, the trap was made of wooden crates and metal mesh, but now they are 3D printed in plastic. Dennis made his first lobster pot to catch the hornets in 2016 and now makes the traps in bulk due to growing demand. The Asian hornets are an invasive insect that arrived in France via a pottery shipment from China. The killer hornet can eat through an entire hive in a matter of hours. There is a festive occasion for a Mexican zoo amid a rare birth boom in its lion enclosure. Keepers and visitors are amazed to hear roars of three newborn cubs. The three baby lions that are trying very hard to roar were born just 2 weeks ago in Zacango Zoo. The zookeepers separate them from their mother for a few hours a day to feed them because their mother cannot produce milk. The two female and male cubs would live under constant surveillance for a couple of months so that their health is reassured. They are reported to be currently in good health.
A bunker built by the German army in France during World War II has now been given a new lease of life by turning it into an underground guest house. A 4,300 square feet bunker located off Breton coast in northern France was originally built by Nazi troops after invading the country in 1940. The area has been the home of hundreds of such fortifications of the German army. Half of them have been buried along sandy beaches. This underground guest house now belongs to the 52-year-old bunker enthusiast. Serge Gollio says it took 18 months to dig out the buried trench and turn it into a fully functional guest house. He says an attempt was made to preserve some historic aspects during its renovation.
What is nice is to now be able to spend time here, to have dinner, to spend the night in things like this. So we adapted the bunker while preserving a certain feel. We wanted to give the building a second life, so we're not going to live in the past forever. We saved some aspects, you know, where you are. There are historic cues, but this isn't a museum either.
Collio says many French visitors and foreigners, including Germans, have stayed in the guest house since the bunker opened a year ago. The world's highest expressway has opened to traffic in China's Tibet Autonomous Region. It's nearly 300 kilometers long and has an average elevation of 4,500 meters. It connects the cities of Nechu and Lhasa, shortening the travel time from 6 to 3 hours. The road passes through many picturesque areas, such as snowy mountains, grasslands, and wetlands. The expressway is also environmentally friendly. Special passages have been devised for animals to get from one side of the freeway to the other.